Could I have a drink or something?
Al, would you please get him a drink?
Come on, fucking give a hand for Luke. Jesus Christ, what are you, a bunch of pussies?
Hello. Come on, sex machine. This is episode 117. I do believe. 117. Guess where I'm going? The oft complained about Ice House, Pasadena, California. Open mic. I often drive there. The building is not optimum. I usually have a problem with the host, the way they run the show. Usually freezing inside the building. It's called the Ice House. But it literally is cold as ice inside, and usually also describes the mentality of the audience. Ice cold. Because what's cooler than being cool? Ice cold. Yes! Thank you, Brock. That's where I'm on the way to, because I gotta do this fucking show. You know what I'm saying? But this is the last time. You say, Luke, you're trying to cut back the miles on your car. You're telling me you drove 25 miles to work. Now you're going to drive 32 miles over to the fucking open mic and then 32 miles back to your apartment. Yeah. And I'm rounding out. Oh, look at this, LV. Well, I think I'll hit 13,000 this episode. Which means I have to virtually not drive this car next year. I put about two. That's what the dealer's going to say when I fucking turn it in. Worth of miles. On this thing. So I'm gonna get a fucking motorcycle. Everyone's like, Luke, don't get a motorcycle. You'll fucking kill yourself. Yeah, I hope not. I'll be real careful. You know, people keep telling me, they're like, no, you text so much. You can't even text on a motorcycle. I know. I'm not even texting on a bike, you fucking assholes. Shut up. Mind your biz. Okay. Yesterday, I'm going to start it off with some customer service complaints. I know you're. I know you love hearing them. So I'm gonna give the fans what they want. That's what people say. I go to Starbucks. There's another one now that's across the street from my work. There's one that's down around the corner. This one's like across the street. And this one, there's never anyone in it in the even in the morning, prime time. There's always hot chicks in there, too. And I go in, and against my better judgment, nutrition judgment, I said, you know what? I've been pretty good this week. I'm going to get myself a chocolate chip muffin. Now, as you know, Starbucks in L.A., probably everywhere, but at least in L.A., their default mode is set to heat. You want a chocolate chip. Anything with chocolate in it, these disgusting fucking savages, for some reason, want it all melted on you and hot, falling apart. I don't want it. I've never wanted a heated muffin or a heated cookie. It's a fucking terrible idea. It ruins the sanctity of the product. So I go in, and there's a dude that's always in there, and I don't know how, this guy will be famous by next week. He's 6'5", a 6'5" black man, but like mocha colored skin, and this guy is like gorgeous. I'm a straight guy, and I want to. The guy's fucking beautiful. He looks like a model. He's chiseled. He's all like, he has kind eyes. And he's covered in tattoos. Like, this dude must fucking, I mean, if he's gay, he must leave guys' asses like General Tecumseh Sherman left fucking Atlanta in his march to the ocean in the Civil War. Like, this dude must have a fucking huge dick, and whatever he's fucking, he's tearing it up, and they're loving it, because this guy's just a fucking beast. He's a huge dude, right? And he seems like a good guy, and I see him all the time, you know what I mean? It's like, fucking, yo, what up, man? Like, he knows me, you know? And he's like, what's up? And I'm like, yeah, I'll have a venti black coffee and a chocolate chip muffin. And I'm like, 3, 2, 1, he's like, you want the muffin heated up? And I don't even say no thanks anymore. I just go, nope. Couldn't make it any clearer. So, it's a good-sized Starbucks, pretty big. So I go down, he writes my name. Now, here's the roulette wheel of sadness for Luke at Starbucks. He writes my name on the fucking bag and puts it into the queue. There's no one else in line behind me. This is what I don't get. Either this guy is lazy, or any of these people that do this, they're either lazy, or they are following protocol to such an extent that they do something so stupid. Like, why add a step to the... I'm only getting a black coffee and a goddamn muffin. I mean, people have been eating this since 1841 or whatever the fuck. Whatever the fucking coal miners fucking ate, Paul. You hit a fucking coffee and a fucking muffin. How do you fuck that up? All you gotta do is walk over and grab it for me. There's no one else behind me. Don't put it in the factory line. Just get fucking giant black dude. Just go grab it for me, buddy. Will you? And send me a fucking picture of you coming out of the shower holding a fucking towel over your cock. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm waiting down by the thing, and I'm texting, you know, having a good morning. Saying fucking, you know, just being silly on Twitter, at weirdfellas2, if you want to follow me. Instead of goodfellas, it's weirdfellas2, Twitter. And just brightening everybody's morning. Adding a couple extra rays of sunshine to whoever might be out there, you know, in fucking internet land. And I'd taken my eyes off the production line, and I thought I saw the chubby Middle Eastern girl taking something that appeared like a chocolate chip muffin out of the oven. I'm like, well, that can't be mine, because me and homeboy had a fucking, we had an agreement. I unequivocally said no on the heat. That can't be mine. And in this slow motion, I watched her just like walking. There was like fucking smoke, you know, on the sides, and she's coming toward me. She's like, here's your muffin. She holds her hand out in slow motion, and I can already see the globby chocolate, like from inside the bag, smearing, so that I could see from outside that very clearly it was my muffin in the oven, and the chocolate had melted, and was, I mean, that's, what more evidence do you need? Right there, you can see, it's a messy, chocolatey mess. Who wants to stick their hand in a fucking bag at 7 o'clock in the goddamn morning and get chocolate all over your knuckles, all over the back of your hand, and your fingertips? You haven't even gotten the damn thing touched to your lips yet, and your hand is lousy with melted chocolate. Who in their right fucking mind wants that to happen? And I'm just like, no. And I'm like, that's not mine. Mine's not supposed to be heated. And homeboy heard me, goes, oh man, sorry, man, sorry. Yeah, don't heat it. Just give me. So he's just standing there. There's no one else at the counter. I mean, he could. He sends it. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. She goes all the way back over, grabs me the fucking muffin, and then I walked over and grabbed it. I'm just, that's the second time. I didn't tell you guys about the last one. That's the second time this happened, that I caught those motherfuckers trying to heat my goddamn fucking muffin. I don't want it hot. My muffin and my cookie. You put it in the oven, I hope you get cancer of the balls or cancer of the fucking uterus if you're a gal. How fucking dare you? I mean, the guy looked right in my eyes. I thought we had a connection. I thought we were bros. Like, yo, man, we're two tall guys. You know, we're two athletic dudes. It's the morning. We're both here, you know, trying to make the best of it. You understand, I need a muffin to get my shit started, and you're going to give me that muffin, but I need it the right way, and you're such a fucking good dude, you're going to get it to me right, and it's going to be great. That's not what happened. He fucking betrayed me. He stabbed me right in the heart, disgraziad. That's what happened. Twice. They did it at that one over on Lancashire, too. I saw him fucking, I was like, no. You don't put my muffin in the oven. That's what happened. Got to get up pretty early in the morning to fool the Luxor and heat up my goddamn cookie or muffin. And I'll tell you what, you can go to fucking hell for that. I didn't want to do this because Thanksgiving was almost a week ago, and it sucks doing it. It falls on the worst day if you do your podcast on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. On a Tuesday! And Thanksgiving was the week prior. No one wants to hear about it anymore. You already heard about it on all your favorite talk shows. You know, on the news. Whatever you want, talking to your friends, you know, to maybe if you're out of state, talking to your mom. Hey, Ma, how was the turkey? How was the gravy? Was it thick? Was it watery? How were the mashed potatoes? Was there chunks in them? Did you sprinkle little bits of bacon and shit in them? Or did you just whip them up with the egg beater? Did any fly off or get in your eyeball? You go, oh, shit, I got some, you know, mashed potatoes in my eye. Now I got to stop what I'm doing. Go over to the city. Maybe even an eyewash station if you're at work and you got one of those. If you work in an industrial place, God forbid you ever need it. They have an actual eyewash station. It looks like a little baby cock sticking out of a water fountain, you know, and you squirt it in your eyeball to get whatever, you know, poison you might have got in your retina so that you're not blind to one eye, you know, and have to walk around like, you know, Sammy Davis Jr. You don't want to hear about it. You know, we're done with Thanksgiving here. What the fuck?
I ate a fucking turkey last week. How much you want to fucking hear about it? We already fucking talked about the turkey.
Anyways, my Thanksgiving. Thursday, it was very hot in Los Angeles. It was hot. 90 fucking degrees. And I don't know what I was thinking. I had a little bit of extra energy, and I said, I'm going to go on a hike. I haven't gone on a hike in a long time. So I went over to Griffith Park. Walked up the hill. I sweated. And I got, you know, and I, it was nice because there was a couple days. I felt a fucking brain cloud coming. There was absolutely a brain cloud on the way.
I have a brain cloud.
Brain cloud. What is a brain cloud?
Well, it's... maybe I should get a second opinion.
You didn't get a second opinion about something called a brain cloud?
But I fought my way through it. And I said, the best way to fight a brain cloud and a wave of depression I could feel settling in my cerebellum or my Sara Lee is to go out and, like, do stuff. Get out and get fit, you know, get physical, go work out and shit like this. So I said, get your fucking ass up and go fucking on a hike. Let's go walk up a hill. And I did. And I felt good. And I said, I'm going to go work out. It's like 1 o'clock, I had to be to Scotty's by 5. Now, he lives in the armpit of the San Fernando Valley, Northridge. And I had to be over there by 5, and I was like, I need to start my week. Because, like I said, I broke legs off, and now I got to go to the gym 4 fucking days. It's been better, actually. The workout's been way better, but I got to go more, which is a fucking pain. Whatever, apples and oranges, rigging them. So I went over to that fucking Gold in North Hollywood. I don't like it. It's a dump. It's in a shitty little spot. And I'm working out, and there's a... nobody wants to fucking hear about this. There was a fucking... Oh, I loved this chick. She was so weird looking. She had this, like, big... She had the size of her head shaved. And she had, like, a little chipmunk. She was so fucking cute. I wanted this chick so bad. And the whole time, I'm like, get the fuck... Go talk to her! Every episode, I gotta have one of these, right? I didn't. Of course I didn't. I went down. You know what I had as an appetizer for Thanksgiving? A big bowl of regret. A big bowl of regret. You know? I actually went back for seconds. Anyways, that was a total. No one needed to know that part. So Scotty, we actually ended up eating outside, which is nice. I never had an outdoor. It was just like the original pilgrims. It was like the first Thanksgiving they ever had in 1623. They ate outside, just like us. No, it was like perfect weather and shit. And yeah, I don't know. Not much to report. It was we hung out, ate. It was good. Good food. Good peeps. Am I missing something happen? What then? I mean, not happen, but like, what the... I thought there was something I wanted to... I don't know. Nah, you know, it was nice. It's good. How was yours? Everybody have a good fucking Thanksgiving? Did you eat a lot? Did you have your... you gave me a fucking plate of leftovers to go, and I ate it like 2 days later. Ooh, fucking Thanksgiving. How fucking great are leftovers? They're the shit. They're really good. I wish I had more to talk about on that, but I really don't. I had a fairly, as far as anything out of the ordinary, uneventful Thanksgiving. Just, you know, standard... Met with pals and peeps and ate. Oh boy, what the fuck is going on with the freeway here? I just got on the goddamn 405. I gotta get on the 10. Oh, I can stay in this lane because I'm getting on the 10. Oh yeah, I don't have to worry about merging over here. The old good old Lord gave me a break today. Thanks, baby Jesus. What I did notice, I don't know. I'm getting old and I'm falling apart. It's the things that I'm eating are. Affecting me so fucking bad. I like stuffing, as we all do. And why was this line backed up? Holy shit. What the fuck? It's going... My God, am I going to make it? I go through this every time I go to this fucking ice house. I make it with like a minute to fucking spare. Jesus, this fucking traffic's bad today. I'm eating the stuffing, and I see it was good. And I look, and what do I see? An ass load of onions in there. Onions. I love onions. I love them. But they fucking ripped me up. They always have. Even when I was a lad, I always they gave me heartburn, indigestion. You know, the farts, the shits, the acid burpees. It comes up your throat, and it feels like if you burp, like a little flame is gonna come out of your mouth because it's so hot. You know, it feels like you're just like one of the Khaleesi's baby dragons burping. That's what it feels like. Onions ripped me up. And I ate it, but I was like, fuck. Oh, well, I'm already four forkfuls deep before I noticed, so what the fuck? And I was up all night tossing and turning. It was my fucking stomach, this goddamn gurgle. Oh, fucking ripping ass. Oh, it was horrible. It's getting worse and worse. I can't. And dairy is really starting to fucking bug me again. Anything. Even the fucking whipped cream on the pie. Even the whipped cream on the fucking pie. Whip up my fucking tail. Give me fucking eyes to do. The soup of the muscles. All night I was fucking tossing. Oh, it was a mess. That's like the third time that's happened in like 2 weeks. I ate something and it fucked me all night. Gave me nightmares and shit. Friday, I had the great opportunity to go into work. I had to go in. I had to go over and sign my building papers and shit, business papers, anyways. And it's right by my work, so I'm like, well, I got to go in and turn over all this fucking gear, or I'm going to be really double fucked come Monday, because I am the fucking shore patrol, motherfucker! I'm the shipping, receiving, prep tech, pull tech, service tech, I'm everything. Wow, what is going on? I can't even get on the 10. What in the fuck is going on? There's got to be an accident up here. I'm never going to make it. This is fucking crazy. I barely fucking moved in 10 minutes. The fuck is going on here? I'm usually on the 10 already. I'm not even under the fucking bridge. Where the, what the fuck's through? What is that over there? That fucking bridge you go over? Is it, Sawtelle? I don't even fuck. Jesus Christ. It's fucking killing me. I had to work. So, I dragged ass. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to do it. I didn't particularly have anywhere to be, so I just took my sweet old time. And, I'm getting ready to leave. Now, we have a fucking, there's like a beehive. The building next door has this massive fucking beehive. Like, there's just fucking thousands of bees coming in and out of this goddamn thing all day, all night. And a lot of them get inside our fucking place. I hear them buzzing around and hitting the goddamn fluorescent lights up there. And, oh my God, I have to get out of this lane. This is madness. I haven't moved. Okay, hang on. I'm sorry, I don't mean to sit and complain. Like, you know, I can complain a little bit about traffic, but to sit here and go on and on about it for fucking 90 minutes, fucking get a hold of yourself. Okay. Improvise, adapt, overcome. I'm getting ready to leave, and I feel something hit my shoulder. And I was like, it was a bee, it's a bee, it's a bee. I'm like, and I turn the lights back on, and the fucking thing was clinging to my shirt. And I'm like, get off me. So I flick it. It lands on the floor. Getting ready to leave, gathering my stuff. The bee is now injured. Hurt its leg, hurt its wing, whatever. Hobbling around like a cripple. And as I gather my things and look down in disgust at this insect, helpless insect, a black widow spider comes crawling out of what looked like a little cave. Underneath the door where you walk in the other room, there's a hole where it appears to have made a nest. This fucking spider comes like, it comes out of this little fucking cave. I was like, oh, and it grabbed the bee. But it was a little black widow, and the bee was slightly bigger. Then the spider, I'm like, oh, holy shit, look at this fucking... It was a Clash of the Titans. It was fucking rad, you know? It was fucking rad, Paul. You should have fucking seen it. A fucking spider and a bee going at it on the fucking floor right there in front of me. I'm like, whoa. And, like, it was so harrowing. Like, it would get the bee, and it would start like, the spider would like, shoot little webs up, and it would get up in the air. It was like a superhero battle, and it would start wrapping the bee in the fucking, in the spider web, and the bee would on its wings, and it would break it off and start getting away. And the bee kept getting away. And like twice, it got away, and I was like, "Fuck!" I was pissed, so I took a little fucking straw, and I went boop, and I shot the bee. It was like a perfect shot. It went right back into the fucking into the cave by the spider. The spider came right back out. I was like, "Oh shit, you're back, motherfucker!" And the spider went after him again, and they're all over each other. And this, I could see the bee getting tired. And he was giving up, and shit. I'm like, "Yeah, you're in trouble now, bee. That spider's gonna. It's gonna take him fucking 3 days to eat you. It's gonna be a big fat fuck. Spider's gonna eat the bee. It's gonna come, you know, waddling out." Kind of, you know, like your uncle after, you know, just ate Thanksgiving dinner to go, you know, call back to Thanksgiving. It's like when your Uncle Eddie comes over and he eats so much, his stomach, you know, hanging over his belt. And he goes in the living room and he falls asleep watching football next to your dad, next to your grandpa. Just three, you know, Americans sitting on a couch with their head back, cocked to one side, with their mouth wide open, just snoring. You know, drool coming out because, you know, the MSG and the turkey. You know, knocks you out. The guy falls asleep, snores a little bit. You know, let him sleep. He ate. He worked all week. It's Thanksgiving. It's a time for working men to sleep and watch a bunch of white guys tackle each other and black guys on the TV. I don't know what that had nothing to do with anything. Why'd I have to bring race into it? Who cares? Who cares who they are? They're gladiators, warriors, football players. A lot of Kirk this episode. And the fucker got away again. I'm like, all right, if it gets away one more time, I got to let it go. But I thought he had, I mean, the thing was just done. It gave up. It was just laying there, and the spider's just like, just fucking dragging it back into its thing. It's just exhausted. He's like, fuck, you're a fat fucking bee. And it was trying to get it back into its thing. And then it was like, he had it up in a little nest. And I don't know what happened. I went over to fucking take a leak or something. I came back, and the bee got away. He somehow got out of the fucking nest. And I was like, God. The spider looked all bummed. It was like, fuck. It was all pissed. It was like stomping his little spider feet on the ground. Like, you fucking cocksucker. And like, it would start walking away. It didn't want to walk too far away from its spider penthouse apartment. Because the bee would start wandering away, maybe like a foot or two. And you see the spider kind of start walking toward, like half assuredly walking towards the bee. And it's like, it's not worth it. And it would go halfway back, and then it'd be like, all right, maybe let me try again. It would start walking more and more and more, and then it would stop and go back. Like, fuck it, I'm too far away from my goddamn home. I'm not, this ain't worth fucking leaving. It was probably watching, you know, the fucking Punisher. Maybe it was watching the Spider Punisher on Spider Netflix and didn't want to bother. But it was a hell of a battle. I mean, I can't believe. I mean, the bee died anyway. It was all fucked up. I flicked it off. I mean, it was already sick or whatever because it was. Whenever they get in there, like, they go in our shop to, like, die. Every fucking morning we come in, there's, like, six on the goddamn floor. But, yeah. I didn't know there was a fucking spider in there. I was like, holy shit, when it came running out. It was like a fucking, it was like in wrestling when there'd be, like, two guys going at it. Like, and then, like, all of a sudden, like, you hear the crowd go crazy. Like, Brutus the Barber Beefcake come fucking running out of the locker room. Like, oh, you come diving into the ring. That's what the fucking spider did. It was like. You know, I'm easily entertained, you know. I was just thinking, man, can you imagine if this was before the internet? This would be like a fucking pay-per-view. Oh. Saturday, what did I do Saturday? Did I do a mic? What did I do? What did I do in the daytime? I can't remember. I can't fucking remember. I don't know what I did, but Saturday night, I was bored, I was horny. And I hadn't been to Hollywood in a while. And I said, oh, yeah, there's an accident up here. That's what the fucking problem was. Jesus. Oh, what a fucking mess. God damn it. That just delayed me 20 goddamn minutes. I know I'm on the rocks with my old pal Stryker there. But, you know, I was like, what are you doing? And he's back with his fucking chick, I guess. And he's like, well, we're going to this bar up by Franklin. And right Beachwood. By the Hollywood. Where that UCB theater is. And I never really hung out. There's a little strip of bars there, and it's kind of like bohemian, where artists go. Like, everybody's got a little fucking, like an Annie Hall hat and shit like that, wearing bow ties and such. And I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And I've driven by them a million times, and they are cool-looking little spots. And I said, all right, I'm down to fucking try a new place. God, my back window, I can't see a fucking thing out of it. So I texted him like 45 minutes before, and he goes, yeah. We're going up there. I said, all right, cool. I'll see you up there. Oh, yeah, I did. I did a mic at the fourth wall there. Yes. And then I went up there. And he never went. He never showed up. He's like, oh, yeah, we went to some other bar instead. And I was like, cool. Well, thanks for telling me. He's like, yeah, well, now we're going home. It's like 11 o'clock. I'm like, thanks, buddy. Cool. Thanks for fucking standing me up. So I said, I am not going quietly into that good night. It has been a while since I did a little Hollywood shuffle there. So I parked. It was a very weird looking night. It looked like Blade Runner outside. It was really foggy, and it was cold, but not too cold. But cold enough that I don't think a lot of people wanted to go out. I don't know. There's just a weird vibe, and there's a weird mood, and it looked weird. It looked like a goddamn, it looked like fucking the bottom of Dracula's castle. Like all the signs. It was rad. Maybe I'll put up some, I got a couple of, I mean, just my stupid phone, but guy, you're going to let me in? It's a merge lane, you fucking idiot. We're going 2 miles an hour. Is it going to fucking kill you? Let a car in, you fucking prick? Stupid asshole. So I was just like, yeah, I can get into this. This is weird. So I started out down there by Frolic Room, LA Confidential. I only drink in bars where John Wayne might have called somebody the N-word. Old-ass bar. Still the same two bartenders. That dude, Joel. World needs plenty of bartenders. 2 weeks with pay. That guy, Joel, still in there. Oh, thank God you cut ahead of me, dude. Yeah, that was great. Oh, yeah, wow, look at you. You're just sailing ahead of me, aren't you, with the other fucking completely jammed up 10 freeway. You're really hauling ass. Thank God you cut me off there to get in front of me. One more fucking car, that made a big difference, didn't it? Shitbag. I wish I had that fucking rocket launcher from Spy Hunter. And I had one down there, and my, you know, my hope is I just strike up a fucking conversation with some bird. I was particularly not, I don't know, I was in a going out mood, but I wasn't feeling extra chatty. So the odds of me, of anything happening like this, breaking off with just some chick and being like, hey, how's it going kind of thing, seemed pretty low. But I'm like, whatever. So in the frolic room, I have one there, hang around for a little while. There was a show letting out of the Pantages right there next door. And the fucking streets were just jammed with people. It was like elbow to elbow in there when I walked in. It's a small, weird little place. You can see it in LA Confidential. Remember Kevin Spacey gets the drink in there? And I'll meet you at the frolic room. And like, that place has such an ebb and flow of people like no other fucking bar I know. It was jam-packed. And then like 25 minutes later, it's like empty. There's like 9 people in there. I was like, what the fuck? Anyways, I shuffle on down. I said, I'm going to head down to the to Bordner's there. Way the fuck down. It's like a mile down Hollywood Boulevard. All the way down by kind of headed towards Grauman's, right? Because Frolic's at one end. Way, way down by the Capitol Records building. And the fucking Bordner's was another old... That's the bar at the beginning of Ed Wood. Remember when they read the review? Oh, what is that old Queen? No. He didn't even show. Love that fucking place. Both these bars are like 100 years old and still around. So, that was the first place I ever met Bill Burr, saw Bill Burr in person, was Bordner's. It was the night Obama got elected in 2008. And I had a drink with him. It was rad. He was a nice guy. On the way, I see a fucking Star Wars... There's a Star Wars-themed bar on Hollywood Boulevard called Scum and Villainy, and it's shaped and built like the Mos Eisley Cantina from Star Wars. It's got all the little booths. It's all dressed up inside. They play 80s music. I'll put pictures of this. This fucking place was awesome. The door guy was this big motherfucker, this big pistol. He looked like Big Bull Hurley from fucking Big Bull Harley from You Ain't Got a Prayer in Vegas. From Over the Top, I swear. And he was like, hey, you want to come in? Come on, have a drink. You like Star Wars? And I was like, hell yeah, I do. And I showed him my tattoo. He's like, get in here. Come on. He like pulled me in the fucking place. And it was just like, it was rad. Like the bartender, the dude had the actual custom, it's like a $500 fucking prop. He had one of the actual like Han Solo belts, the whole rig with everything. I was like, oh, cool. And it's, yeah, they got all kinds of like props inside. It's red. It looks like fucking, it's got weird neon lights and shit in it. I'm like, it took someone this long to do this. Like I've always wanted this red. It was super fucking expensive, unfortunately. It was $12 for a goddamn Jim Beam and Coke. It's like, fuck. Bartender chicks were cute, so I go in. It wasn't packed in there. It's kind of a small place, but like I said, it's got the table where they meet Han Solo to get the fucking. It's got the same table. It's rad. It's really cool. Anyone listening? Let's go. Me and Dude Bugs are supposed to go. But I sit down and there's a whole bunch of seats towards the end, and like a chick that's covered in tat fucking twos, not particularly gorgeous. You know, outside of her head shaved, punk, kind of like an 80s punk rock looking broad. So I fucking kind of sit next to her. And I keep trying to make conversation, and she's just like, this is just going to boil down to, I hate everyone. I hate everybody. I hate everyone in L.A. There's so much stuff I love in L.A. There's stuff for me here that I love. But in general, I hate like 99% of the fucking population. Luke, why don't you stay there? Because I just told you, there's a lot of stuff here that I like. I already tried moving home once, and I had to come back. But I mean, just like the fucking... like the scales where you weigh like my hatred to my love is seriously, you know, like this blind scales of justice thing where it teeters is way tipping down on things that I hate, but there's just enough here. But she was just so weird and like off-putting, and I was just, you know, just kind of trying to make conversation, just like conversational. We were watching someone on TV and she's like, oh yeah, I guess you're one of those guys or something like that. I'm just like, you know, fuck you. I couldn't tell if she was a dyke or what. She had like army pants on and shit, and she had some kind of, I'm sure it was like circle jerks or some hack fucking West Coast fucking shitty cheesy corny punk band that's, they're all 50 fucking years old that everybody still touts. I love the Dead Kennedys and Pennywise is fucking awesome and the Circle Jerks and the fucking, there's like nine West Coast bands. They all stink. Ugh. All the songs about getting dumped by their girlfriend, crying about like a bunch of fucking pussies. I can't stand it. Anyways, so she was a cunt, and the drinks were too much money, so I left. But I was like, all right, I did some good recon here. I want to come back. And maybe just get a Diet Coke next time, because Jesus Christ, I'm not paying that much fucking money. And I shuffle on down to Bordner's there, and I had to drink down there, and walked all the fucking way back to my car, and I then went home, jerked off, went to bed. So it was pretty uneventful, long story short, but I don't know, it's just cool to walk around just like in a fucking thing by yourself and just drink. Every once in a while, it's kind of fun to do that. I hope you get into some shit. Now, if I drank harder and got wasted, I probably had a better chance of having a better ending to that story, but, you know, what do you want? It's, like I said, apples and oranges. You got to kind of weigh with the good with the bad. I tried. Yeah, it would have cost me a lot more money. I would have felt like shit. I would have been hungover and everything else, but whatever. What the fuck is the point? What's the point of any of that? Sorry, that was like a Sarah Winchester house hallway where I took you down and I go, oh, check this room out. And I opened it up and the door just opened into a wall. The door just opened and it was like 6 inches of space and there's bricks behind it. And I was like, oops, sorry. That was like the Lost Soul. This is the Lost Souls room from Beetlejuice. That's where I went. That's where I just took everybody. Right? Let me double check. Yeah. Prop space. I had done a... I've been really slacking on mics. I've only been up a couple times since the last time I talked to you. But, man, doing those shows at that improv space has fucking really freed me up. It's really loosened me to fuck up. Like, I've gone on stage a whole bunch of times with literally just bullet points of stuff I haven't even, like... I heard Kevin Hart. I was listening to him get interviewed on Howard. And he was like, I never really wrote my stuff out. I just write broad bullet points and I go up and I just work it out on stage and whatever happens. And I have dudes in there that write for me and they record my set and they write down what worked. I'm like, that's pretty goddamn nice to have. But yeah, I've been doing that and like I would never have done that probably even a month ago. I'm like, no, I got to write this out. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. I don't want to go up there and just fucking, what if I don't come up with anything? But just having to fill that time at that improv space, having to go up for 20 minutes and being like, I only got 10 minutes of fucking material, so you better come up with something, fuckface. I'm really getting into that. It feels like creative throwing the parachute out of the plane and then having to dive out of the plane and catch the fucking parachute in the air. It's fucking great. But yeah, I've been doing that. It's been fun. It's getting more and more fun and interesting doing this fucking stupid. After listening for me years complaining about goddamn stand up and hey, great, I suck at it. Speaking of Howard, I was listening to like I said, I had to work all day. I got to fill a lot of fucking time with talk. All I do is listen to goddamn podcast and shit, and there's an interview with Madonna from like 2 years ago, and I grew up with Madonna, 80s and 90s, you know, in her fucking prime. Well, not me, I'm in my prime. Yeah, you look it. And Madonna was always fun because she was just a fucking sassy, didn't give a shit, like just a fucking Bowery New York bitch, you know what I mean? Just didn't give a fuck about offense. She always trying to be funny and she was fun. She was a good shit, you know, Madonna. You never knew what that fucking ding dong was gonna say. And I guess I lost touch with her or forgotten how much she'd changed. And I couldn't even get through 5 minutes. I mean, it didn't even sound like the same person. She's so fucking sanctimonious and like pretentious and like, what is it, that fucking accent, like it doesn't even sound like the same I can't believe this is the same person. She's like, well, you know, when I she sounded like that girl that I dated a couple weeks ago, that fucking artsy dummy. She's like, you know, when I moved to England, it was much more refined there and I found people to be much more conversational. I was like, who the fuck is this? Where's old like Madonna? Like, yeah, I grabbed this guy's cock in the cab the other day. She didn't give a shit. She was like Roseanne. She was fucking great. I couldn't fucking believe it. Look, Madonna's been like that for at least 10 years. Where the fuck have you been? Everybody knows this. There's nothing current about what you're saying at all. I know! I'm just saying. I don't know. I guess it just, I hadn't heard or thought about her in a long time. So it surprised me. What a fucking asshole. Oh, God, she's an asshole. She's so annoying. I couldn't stand it. I was so bummed. I'm like, what happened to good old Madonna? She was the best. The fucking 180 change, you know what I mean? God damn it. You know, it's a good comparison. Madonna, it's like Goldie Hawn and Overboard. Madonna now is Goldie Hawn at the beginning when she was still when she was the stuck up rich bitch. Like she was Goldie Hawn and Overboard in reverse. Come on, Annie, you can't be a stuck up bitch. Speaking of Madonna, you know, I forgot. Speaking of, I fucking forgot. I don't know if I ever told this story. So we have this. My boss just told me this one the other day too. It's funny. It was like perfect timing because it was like the next day. There's a DP named Thomas Klaus. Klaus! From Germany. And he's like a really talented DP, and he's a very he's from Germany, and he's a no-nonsense guy. I saw this motherfucker once, and he looks like one of the He's all, the guy's probably in his 50s or whatever, but he looks like one of the nihilists from Big Lebowski. He looks like his hair's like, it's shaved on the sides and it's like combed back super hard, and he's got like crazy weird like Andy Warhol glasses, and he's just short. He's just like, he's like ripped too. He's like, this guy's like shred. I mean, not like big like Jack, but he's just like, he's all fucking tone and shit. You know, he's like in real good shape. And he just has a fucking doubt, like a stare, like, don't fuck with this guy. He looks like he fucking means business, right? So I met him once, and I was like, that's him? Holy shit, that dude looks like a fucking, he looks like trouble. So I guess he was shooting, it was a Madonna concert or a video. But, God, this rear defogger is not working. Come on. Turn on little heat coils. Looks like somebody fucking painted my goddamn back window with white paint. Two coats. He was shooting something with Madonna. And I guess she was having one of her classic fucking fits or meltdowns or complaining about all kinds of shit and just fucking just being a goddamn diva. And it's going on, and she's just complaining about everything. And she comes to the director, and she's just having a fucking fit. And she's like, this ain't working. This is not how I want it. I don't even know what to do. Like, what am I going to do? And apparently, this is a legendary fucking story. This is one of my boss's favorite stories. I don't know if he was there or if he heard it secondhand or what. But apparently, in front of everyone, in the whole crew, Thomas Klaus, the cinematographer, turned to her and said, you know what you could do? You could get your whore ass back up there on the stage and finish the fucking video. And he went right in her face and said, got like nose to nose with her. And he said the entire fucking crew was like, holy shit. And Madonna's face went to like, from like furious to like, oh my God, I want to fuck this guy. But like, she went through like every range of emotions because I don't think anyone had told her to fuck off probably in years. And she probably loved that. And they said she turned around and went back up. She didn't say a fucking word and went back up and did get her whore ass back on that stage and finished the fucking song. I fucking love that story. Apparently it's true. Thomas Klaus. Isn't that great? There's also that other Madonna story I told you about, the other dude that's the AC that comes to prep. And his first day on a set ever, he was a PA. On his first day on any set, it was a Madonna video. And I think it was the, come on, girl, you believe in love? Well, I got something to sing about it. That fucking thing, was Express Yourself. I think it was that video, I think. Which, didn't David Fincher, somebody famous directed that. Was it Fincher or was it Brett Ratner? Somebody big directed that one. I think it might have been Fincher, honestly. He started out as a fucking music video director. But, yeah, and she fucked, she whatever. I've told the story already. If text me if you want to fucking hear about it. I don't want to fucking bore you with it again. What else do I got? Give me what you got. Wheat. And fourth, let me get this one done first because there's a lot involved. So, I think I told you I went in a fucking Netflix hole and I was looking for shit to watch. And I watched the real Ghostbusters, the Ghostbusters cartoon. That when I was a kid, I mean, in the 80s, there was nothing. I was like perfect age. I was like 5, 6 years old or whatever when it came out. So it was just the coolest shit ever, right? It was so fucking rad. And you just wanted more. And I mean, there was one more movie, and that was, you're just like, God, I want Ghostbusters everything all the time. So then a cartoon comes out, and you're just like, holy shit. Like, there's a new fucking thing involving. It's not like exactly the guys from the movie, but like my young mind loves this. Like, this is rad. I can't believe there's going to be a Ghostbusters cartoon episodes every day. So I, you know, obviously I love the show. And I hadn't seen it in a really, really fucking long time. And there's a couple that I like have vague memories of that I've like, oh, I want to, I just, some of these I got to see again because I haven't seen them since I was like fucking 11 or something. And like, I have like weird memories of them and I want to watch them again. And I watched this one. There was one where they go to Hollywood. They fly the Ghostbusters to Hollywood to like, to make Ghostbusters the movie. It's the cartoon guys, but they're making a movie in the cartoon. And I always remembered at the end, they go to the premiere and they sit in the theater and they show, remember like in the beginning of Muppet Babies, they would insert actual clips from like Star Wars and shit. They showed actual footage from the fucking movie. And I remember the Peter Bregman character he goes, that guy doesn't look a thing like me. I always remembered him saying that. And, so I wanted to see that one because I was like, oh, I remember they watched it and it shows the actual movie. And it was so weird. Like, I don't know if they didn't have the rights to it or something. The only clip they show is the very opening, the establishing shots of the New York Library with that lion and shit where it just shows. And I think it kind of shows them like someone walking down a path and then it cuts away. And it's not like this is extra confusing. They're playing different. they're playing the Ghostbusters theme in the Ghostbusters movie that they're watching, but it's like a generic version of the Ghostbusters song, but the cartoon plays the actual Ray Parker Jr. song anyways. I was like, what the fuck is going on? What kind of weird rights conundrum are they having right now? And then, like, I understand it's a cartoon and it's for kids. Maybe it's just, maybe cartoons have gotten more sophisticated and the writing has gotten better. And I think Wisely wrote stuff a little bit more that adults can get into too. You can watch it with your kids and not completely fucking bore the adults out of their mind. I think that's become a thing like more in the last, 10, 15 years. But back then, no one gave a shit. They just do like whatever shit on the page. And I'm watching like, none of it. It's not funny. It's not. They're so badly written. Like they're fucking terrible. I'm just like, what? Like, that's supposed to be a joke from Venkman? Like, it's just terrible. Like, none of the dialogue makes any sense. None of the play. It's just all over the place. It's really bad. Like, even you watch old G.I. Joe, that they make a little bit more sense. At least there's kind of like a plot that goes through. And I don't know what was going on. But it's just they're not good. They're really fucking stupid. I don't know why they chose to make them all in different jumpsuits. And why is Egon blonde? I don't know. It's a very odd thing there. It was sort of Ghostbusters, but not really, right? So then I remembered there was one with the Sandman. That was always one of my favorite ones. And I always remembered how he talked, like, oh, Ghostbusters, I'll put everyone to sleep. And he had this weird, like, fucking delivery, like, way he talked. And he was like, he was so, so anyways, I watched the Sandman one. I think I talked about this a couple episodes ago. But I keep getting this stupid dialogue. Again, like, none of the dialogue really makes any sense. And just the first time you see him in the cartoon, he just goes, oh, yes, so many of us. Just that stupid, oh, yes, has been stuck in my head for, like, fucking days. So, so this is how he talks. Listen.
Oh, yes, we are many, my friend, many.
Oh, guys, I think the ants sitting across the street.
Hundreds of us, my friend, taking care of the world's need for sleep. But who's taking care of the world's need for peace? I ask you, no one. Let them call me Renegade. I don't care.
This nigga named Sam, man. That's all the fuck I know, man. Shit.
Sandman.
So, I mean, it took me like two times to fucking like to watch it to figure out that like, he's one of, like, I guess, like, a network of Sandmen. Like, people can't go to sleep. What you don't know is Sandmen put you to sleep. It never shows any other Sandmen. There's just this one. And apparently, he's gone on by himself and decided, instead of putting everyone to sleep, like normal, regular Sandman do for one night, he wants to put everyone to sleep for 500 years because and this is, like, 88, too. Jesus Christ, can you imagine if this guy was around now? He's tired of all the wars and the fighting. No more wars, no more fighting. He's had it with humanity, so he wants everyone to sleep. So that's what he's doing in this episode. He's putting everyone to sleep. And I'm like, oh, so I guess he's like, that was a confusing part. It doesn't really show. And they're like, they're walking around, like all these like weird things are running down the street, and everyone goes like, what is this stuff? It looks like stuff out of people's dreams. And like three times, Egon goes, yep, this looks like the work of the Sandman, all right. But no one acknowledges him once until finally the third time, and he was like, this must be the Sandman. And they're like, Sandman? Who's the Sandman? He's like, and then explains it. I'm like, he said that like twice. What, you're not listening? It's very, I'm telling you, it's really weird. Anyways, so, oh yeah, this is the other part where he like, he goes into this, there's like, I don't know, there's like total standalone scene. It has nothing to do with the rest of the show. There's like this cheesy like radio DJ guy, and they're playing this, like, we're with the Sandman. There's an actual like Sandman song they wrote for this episode. And like this guy's like, yeah, you're a WXP New York. And he's like, what's going on? Is everybody asleep out there? And he's like, actually, yes. And the Sandman, he comes out of the fucking headphones, right? Into the studio where the DJ is by himself. There's no other staff. And the guy goes, hey, that's a really neat trick. You must work for Spielberg. And he goes, never heard of him. And then he goes, as for you, it's time for night night. And he makes him go to sleep. And I'm like, What a shitty line. Like, someone got paid to write, you must work for Spielberg, like, because a ghost came out of a head. What? And you gotta see Sandman's face. He looks like Marlon Brando. He's got this fat, weird, like, featureless face. But he's always, like, smiling. He doesn't even look that threatening. It's a fucking stupid. I don't know. Anyways. So, I don't know how, but I end up, I was looking for a clip to pull of the, for this completely pointless segment to tell you about a fucking 30-year-old cartoon that you don't give a shit about. But I see something called Spooks of Ghostbusters. Insert Winston joke here, of course. And I check it out, and what a gold mine this is. I found one of the great undiscovered YouTube weirdos. I don't know how, he's got like barely any followers or anything, but he is fucking fantastic. He has made my life. What's his name? Joe Top Hat? It's the Spooks of Ghostbusters, and it's like, he made his own crappy, like, I guess this guy goes through, he's obviously not all there. I think the goose was a little bit undercooked, if you know what I mean, when old Joe here was born. He goes through like old cartoons and stuff and just does like a little recap of them, of like some really obviously like Ghostbusters, like old, really old stuff, but he does a whole thing on Ghostbusters. And like the logo is this crappy, like, it's the Ghostbusters logo, but he drew a shitty top hat. His gimmick is he's Joe Top Hat. So he wears sunglasses and a little hat. And while he does his little spiel here, and he drew him on the Ghostbusters ghost, and it's so shitty. And like this guy's for real. He's like that. Who's that? The one that he's like, there are huge earthquakes coming in California. That the fat retarded kid with the gap in his teeth that does the weather. He's like this, but like a different version. He's like, the Ghostbusters have to fight the Sandman. He's like, the Sandman doesn't even know what they were doing. I love this guy. I can't, like, I listen to him and I talk like him all day. Here's a clip. Listen to Joe Top Hat.
For most people, the Sandman isn't somebody to be afraid of. He is just a being who puts us to sleep at night, and sleep is something we all need. Eventually, we all wake up and go about our day. Not only is the Sandman harmless, he is doing us all a favor, since sleep is how we rest our bodies. What if there wasn't just one Sandman? What if there were hundreds of Sandmen, and one of them decided to go rogue? Our friends the Ghostbusters had to deal with one such Sandman. This Sandman isn't satisfied with putting people to sleep. He wants to keep them asleep for 500 years. And allow anything they're dreaming of come to life and run wild.
He's like, he's just a being who wants to put people to sleep. He goes, what if one of the Sandmen went rogue? I love him! Isn't that dude great? I'm telling you, go check out Joe Top. He's got a fucking ton of videos where he just sits there. You gotta see what he looks like. He looks awesome. I'm sure he'd be a prom king if he, I don't know. Lucas, sounds like you're really picking on the unfortunate and the handicapped. Yep, yes I am. Anyways, that was my Sandman Ghostbusters. What if he went rogue? I want to hang out with that guy. You know what happened last time? Last night we went to Red Lobster. I haven't been to Red Lobster in a really long time. Luke, I didn't even know there was any fucking Red Lobsters in Los Angeles. There's not. There's like two. In the whole greater LA fucking county region, area, place, zone. And Bokes' mom, who likes to drink a little bit, for some reason decided to get Bokes $100 in gift cards to Red Lobster, which he's never expressed any kind of desire for. I don't think they ever went and ate there as a family. I don't know where she got, besides alcohol, I don't know where she got the idea that her son would want $100 for a Red Lobster, of which there are virtually none in the fucking area. So he's like, what are we going to, Bokes' chick doesn't even eat fucking Red Lobster. So I didn't even think me and him could take down $100. So I'm like, Scotty lives over there. Let's get Scott. So the three of us will have a nice fucking dinner for schmucks over there in, what is that? What the fuck is it? I always forget the name of that area down there. It's not. It's like Topanga Canyon and Victory. Canoga Park. It's like the next one. Is it Fallbrook? I don't know. So, I haven't had Red Lobster in fucking forever. And Bokes keeps going. I think he forgot that they serve booze there. He's like, how are we eating $100 worth of food? I'm like, dude, we'll get a couple drinks. He's like, oh, yeah. So, we're all worried that we're going to shit our brains out because I don't know if you ever had Red Lobster, but boy, does it go through you immediately. I mean, it's just like pipe cleaner, fucking Drano cleaner. It just fucking cleans you out. You'll be shitting your brains out. You won't even make it to the fucking parking lot. And I see the exotic drinks, man. Now, if you know me, I love a fucking fruity drink. I love Mai Tais and pina coladas, all this kind of shit. I love that crap. It's gay. I want a whole production. I want fruit coming out everywhere. I want it 5 different fucking colors. I just make it, fag it up as much as you can. I don't give a shit. I'm not embarrassed. It tastes delicious. I like just for the silly ostentatiousness of it. Give me the fruit. Give me the fucking, whatever. So Red Lobster's lousy with those. They got a giant drink menu with all kinds of shit. I'm like, ooh. So I see the Bahama Mama. I don't think I've ever had one of those. And it looked good. And we had here's the thing about the waitress. She was peppy. She was sweet. She was an older gal. She loved us. Man, was this chick horny. She wanted to get fucked. Look, you sound like a fucking pig. No, she was hitting on us fucking hard. She was ready to go, touching everything. Loving, touching, squeezing. She kept grabbing me and shit. I was like, Jesus Christ. It's like fucking Matt Lauer was our waitress. Ah, female Matt Lauer. Current topical humor. It's topical. She brings me a Bahama Mama. And I'm telling you, it might have been one of the best alcoholic beverages I've ever had. What I started drinking when I was 21, I'm 38. I took 1 year off, so I don't know how you do the math, but it was one of the best drinks I've ever had. It was fucking, and I was trying to tell, they're making fun, they're laughing their ass off because I look like a fucking total mo drinking this fucking thing anyways. It's not a man's drink. You're supposed to get a fucking whiskey and a Coke, you know what I'm saying? But not me. I like it for being stupid. And they're just like, what the fuck? What are you, a fucking child? The flavors of this thing, the mixture of the sugar and it was like rum and pineapple and what else is in it? It was fucking yummy. And it was in a tall, skinny glass. And like, nothing ever settled. It was never like all of it went to... Oh, I always pass a goddamn motorcycles in this thing. It never separated. You know what I mean? It held from top to bottom. It wasn't like the top was all ice and slush and all the booze melted down the bottom so that the bottom just tasted like alcohol. Straight fucking booze. It was... I was in ecstasy. I couldn't believe it. I took a picture. I'll put it on Live from the 405 podcast and Flickr. Flickr. I'll put a picture of it. I was like, this is the best drink I ever fucking had. I couldn't get over it. And it had the perfect amount of alcohol in it. It wasn't super fucking strong to fuck you up. I'm like, give me another one of those fucking Mamma Jammas. So long story short, the bill came to like $130. Yeah, we went over. We took care of that. But it was good. It was a nice little dinner. 3 dudes. Dude Bogues got a fucking... This champion got a black 2017, finally, Dodge Challenger. So I got a 2017 Mustang. He's got a 2017 Challenger. And we can reenact that fucking scene from Bullet when they have the chase. Because we got the right cars, even though mine's the wrong color. You squint your eye a little bit. Maybe it looks green, huh? But, man, that's a fucking bitching car. I'm telling you right now, if I won a fucking $1 million in like a poker game or something tonight, I'd buy that to be my other car. Those are fucking... I mean, they're fucking huge. His trunk is huge. And it's just a giant... The inside of his is way more cozy. He's got a way more... Because this car is more sporty, my Mustang. But he's got a... His has so much room. It's like a fucking luxury car. Shifter car. You drive a shifter car. It's fucking nice inside. It was a fucking bitching car. Really cool. I don't know. His is some kind of weirder model. It looked like different... I don't know. It looked a little different than anyone I'd ever seen. But it was really fucking rad. And then, you know what? It was weird. I was way happier. Because not buyer's remorse, but just like, what the fuck did I do buying this car? And for some reason, he got that car and made me feel way better. Because I would have been so bummed if I was still driving, if I had played it safe and got some stupid like Hyundai or something. And he got that fucking Challenger. I'd be like, fuck, I want a muscle car. But now we both got muscle cars. Two guys, two Italians from Depew, New York, in LA. Both with muscle, both with fucking man's cars. Huh? He's like, let's race in the freeway. He wanted to like race home because I forgot to give him, I knew I was going to fucking do it. I had his lens and I forgot to give it to him. And I was like, I'll meet you at my place. But yeah, look at us with two fucking cool cars, right? Cool dudes and cool cars. Ow! The whole time I was there, long story short, none of us shit. None of us had a problem. Nobody had the Hershey squirts or the dribbles or the hot snakes. Nothing. Everyone was good. I was surprised. In fact, I had never... eating the Admiral's feet, which is a giant plate of food, Even though they gypped me on the clam strips, most of them were little scruples, not full-size pieces that look very much like a clitoris, a woman's clitoris, about the same size and shape, just a slightly different color. Depends on what kind of woman you're fucking, if you know what I mean. Clam strips. The boys loved them. I don't think Scotty or, I don't know if him or Dude Bogues had ever had clam strips, but they were just picking at them like a couple of seagulls on the goddamn beach. But they didn't, they didn't give me a lot of them. I was like, fuck, man, where's all my clam strips? It's like the fucking best part of, it's like the best part of fucking me. Where's the fucking clam strips? Find this fucking cook. But I was still hungry afterwards. I couldn't believe it. I didn't have the shit. It was great. It was one of the, long story short, maybe the best trip to Red Lobster I ever had. Maybe the best goddamn trip I ever had in my fucking life. Red Lobster. What was I saying? What happened after? Oh, yeah, so I'm there. While this is going on, this is just a little weird side note. I haven't seen that the punk rock chick I've talked about. It's a chick I've been... have I known her two? Has it been 2 years already? Might have been 2 years already. I don't know. I've been seeing this chick on and off. I stopped talking to her for fucking months. She goes off. She's covered in 10 fucking toes! And, kind of a whore. But, she fucks me. We have sex every now and again. But she's annoying and clingy, and I put the kibosh on her. I literally block her. I blocked her on Instagram and shit a couple times already. Because she gets really fucking annoying. But, she got a nice little body, got great tits, and she's cute enough, and she's fun to fuck. So, but lately the biggest problem is she's been making me wear a fucking condom, and I'm just like, I'm not doing it. I won't have sex with a woman with a fucking condom. I'm not doing it, unless you're like really scared. No, I even fucked Friday. It doesn't get any worse than Friday, the porn star. I fucked Raw Dog, and came in her like three times, and then she's like, oh yeah, no, I'm actually not on birth control. I'm like, cool, all right, this won't bode well. Who knows what that? She went out, fucked off to the desert. She's out in Lancaster. I haven't seen that chick in fuck, I think it's been a year. I missed that broad and her giant tits. I'm going all over the place here. Get back on track, fuckface. Oh, yeah, so we're at dinner. And right before I got there, I've been texting her again, the punk rock chick. And she actually lives out here by the fucking nice house. In fact, she's trying to get me to come over to her house after the goddamn mic. I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. But she's like, I have like a class over by your apartment. And I'm fucking really tired. She's like, can I just go in your apartment and take a nap? I'm gone. I left, you know, I'm at work, and then I went straight from work to the Red Lobster way to fucking inside of town, Deep Valley shit. And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm sure the door's open. Go ahead. She's like, really? I was like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. Go ahead. What do I care? So she's in there, and she's texting me pictures from my room and shit. She wanted to take a nap. And she's like, oh, by the way, I masturbated in your bed. And I was like, oh, my God, did you? And she was like, yeah. She's like, I fucking came all over your sheets. And I was like, did you really? I don't know why, but it fucking drove me nuts. It got me so turned on. I don't know. It was so dirty. She went in my fucking bed and jacked off. Becky goes in to jack off. Jenny watches. Remember Boogie Nights when he's, who's Dirk? Dirk Diggler. Oh, he's the new guy. I don't know. It was so, I don't even really know if she did or not. I still can't tell if she's joking. I went home and I sniffed like a, like a dog. I sniffed my fucking and I licked all. No, I'm just kidding. But I didn't really. I kind of forgot about it. But I was just like, I don't even know if she really did. But I don't know. It was so fucking dirty. And it was like so. That was the Jim Norton segment of my fucking show. I don't know why I told you that part. I told Dude Bugs. He's like, there's some chick. What are you doing? There's a girl taking. I was like, well, yeah. What's she gonna steal from a number one? I've known her like forever. She's not a fucking. You know, she's not a thief. She's like a regular chick. But anything. Why would anyone take anything from my place? Whatever they have themselves is better. Like, you're not going to advance yourself by stealing from me. It's going to be something you don't even fucking want or need. Like, you're going to take it just because, like, unless you're like a kleptomaniac that just takes things and fucking throws them in the street. Did you see that Avengers 2 trailer? Avengers 2, oh, I'm sorry, Avengers 3, the Civil War. And what are we on here? What's my time? Oh, shit, I fucking stopped it. I don't know. I have no idea where I'm at. I hope I'm at an hour. I think I might be. This is the one they've been building up for. Now they built up to the Avengers. Now the Avengers movie themselves build up to the Infinity War, which was a great... That's a storyline from back when I was reading. That was early 90s, where Thanos got the Infinity Gauntlet, which was that glove that has all the Infinity Gemstones from around it across the galaxy. And when you put them together, you're like indestructible and you're like a real fucking problem. So the good thing about the trailer is just came out today, Wednesday. 28th? 29th? What's today? 29th? Everyone's in it. Everybody. Even I'm not a fan of the Guardians of the Galaxy, but they're in it now too. That new Spider-Man, Black Panther, Doctor Strange. It's kind of rad that there's like fucking 20 goddamn characters. Like this is like a cinematic battle royale that like I don't know if we've ever fucking. Not since I've been alive. This is pretty fucking. This is bringing like 20 fucking movies together. That's kind of cool. Problem is, a lot of these guys are tired playing these parts. Chris Evans has been very vocal, saying he can't wait to not be Captain, which sucks. I love him. I fucking love Captain America. I love him. I like him all around. I love him as a fucking actor. I love him as Captain America. And he's just fucking had it. He doesn't want to do it anymore. He's tired of the costume. So they change his whole costume, and he looks terrible. It's like the ugliest fucking... It's a cool costume, that Cap costume. I love it. And he looks like shit, and then Thor... What's his... Chris Hemsworth's sick of his, too. So he changed his whole fucking costume, and now he looks like shit. He doesn't have his fucking hammer anymore. And Thor doesn't have his right outfit, or Thanos. It's like a newer one. It's like, dress him like he was in the event. Where's his helmet and shit? I mean, I'm glad that it's Josh Brolin. I love him, but even though it's mostly a CG version of him. But it didn't, you know, his face kind of looked Thanos-y, but I was just like, where's the costume? The first time you ever see him, what was it, the end of one of the Thor movies? I think you see him sitting on the throne out there in space, and that was like more the thing. He had the helmet and everything on. But just don't, get the fucking costumes right. What's going on? Why? And now it's just getting to the point, again, there's a plus and a minus to having so many characters. Now it's just getting so goddamn convoluted with everybody. I'm just like, I don't know if I can. I kind of don't give a shit anymore. It's been a long time. I mean, Luke, you just said like last episode you were happy that there's so many Marvel movies because it was like individual issues of a comic book. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure I'll see it and like it. Those guys have been killing it. The guys that made the Captain America 3, which was fucking awesome. What are their names? They're two brothers. Two guys. They look like two Greek dudes. They're older. But those guys are fucking killing it. They're great. So I'm sure it'll be cool. I don't know. Another non-point. This is a whole thing of like kind of setups that kind of go nowhere. They really don't. A little bit of a filler. I didn't have a whole shitload come on last week, so I'm kind of stretching out everything I can. Can you tell? Sorry. I guess I'll leave you with this. All right, I want one final fucking point. I hope I hit an hour. I lost track of my time because I had to cut a couple times to drop those clips in, which I kind of have to do live. We'll do it live. Fuck it. When I was in fourth grade, I had a lot of fourth grade memories lately, but I don't know what prompted me to remember the story. It was something connected. What I was like, I was so excited that I knew something, and it made me think of this. In upstate New York, I don't know. You know, I couldn't even tell you how far away. It's pretty goddamn far. Pretty goddamn far from my house. There's a place called Letchworth State Park, and it's like canyons. It's almost like a little mini Grand Canyon. It's got a lot of fucking cliffs. It's like a Rocky Mountain area with big ravines and shit in it. It's cool. It's very scenic. My dad used to take me. We took my dad's motorcycle. I remember riding my dad's motorcycle for fucking hours. I remember riding my dad's motorcycle on his Harley and listening to the Weird Al album, the Weird Al Fat album. You know, Fat making fun of Bad from Michael Jackson. And it just auto flip. Hang on, I need a fucking drink. Hang on. I'm fucking blowing my throat again. As usual. As per usual. Hang on a second. Oh, he's having a fucking drink of water. I'll fucking swallow it all. Don't drop a fucking drop, you cunt. Okay. So, we went to Letchworth State Park. Now, it was far away. I don't know if any of my friends had ever gone. I don't know anyone that had ever gone but me. My dad used to take me on his bike while I listened to Weird Al. It was Stuck in a Closet with Vanna White. Where are all the songs in there? It was Melanie. That was a fucking funny song. It was Lasagna instead of La Bamba, which I also hated. I remember in school, someone came up with, this is like early on, like Luke is way too much into fucking like nonsensical entertainment that no one else cares about. There was the song Lasagna from Weird Al came out. And Someone had, I believe it was Kevin McCullough, who we called Dragon Breath, because this kid's fucking, what was he, 9 years old and drinking black coffee before he came? This fucking guy stunk, like he had chew and fucking coffee. He was chewing tobacco and drinking a coffee on the bus or something. That's how bad this fucking guy's breath stunk. They used to sing, la 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 lasagna, la 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 lasagna, spaghetti and meatballs, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and it's not what he says. And some, I don't know how, why, or where, but someone made up those lyrics, and it wasn't what Weird Al, who I was a huge fan. He's fucking funny. I'm still a fan of the guy. He's hilarious. That's not what he said. And I was on like a one-man crusade to correct people, to give them the right lyrics. Gee, you wonder why I didn't get fucking laid, barely, in my entire time in school. But did somebody fucking says, man, I'd get all fucking bent out of shape. I'm not kidding. But, so I'd been there. No one knew this fucking place. So I remember I had a team teachers. And this is the only fucking time I think I ever had it. It was two classrooms together with the wall taken out. And there was Mr. Slayman and Mr. Schwarm, who I used to call the pimp and the fat man. I didn't even know what a pimp was. You know where I got that from? It was from Who's That Girl, the Madonna movie. Because that's the pimp and the fat man, the two guys that are after her, Raul and what's his name, and the fucking, I love that movie, directed by James Foley, who went on to make Glengarry Glen Ross, also graduated from University of Buffalo, same film school I went to, and he used to come and do panel, and we would hang out, we all went for fucking drinks like 3 times, he was great, James Foley rules, he was friends of Madonna, he even introduced Sean Penn to Madonna, that's how they met. Because James Foley was shooting with Sean Penn, Look how this ties together. He was shooting at close range, which is where we got looking good. The original show, Looking Good Radio, which I used to do with Polish Brandon, stemmed from that one line from that movie. James Foley directed Sean Penn, and when they were over his house doing something, he was like, hey, Madonna's shooting a Material Girl video down the street. You want to go check it out? And him and Sean Penn walked down there, and they met, and then they ended up getting married. Huh? One of the star fucking power couples of the 80s there. Anyways. That was a real roundabout there for another non-point. In fact, where was it going? Oh, yeah, so he had a double classroom there. It was Slayman Schwarm. One guy was fat. He was a fat Lebanese man, and then Mr. Schwarm was like this real fucking, like, he was shaped like if you took Gunnery Sergeant Hartman's head off his body from Full Metal Jacket and put Mr. Schwarm's head on there, that's exactly how he was shaped. He was just like a real, like, he wore like a dress shirt and everything. There wasn't like an ounce of fat on him. You know what I mean? He was just like a very, whatever. And he was like, he was kind of a scary guy. He yelled a lot and he had a scary voice. He'd be like, hey, nope! Like he did a thing with his throat. And everyone was terrified of this dude. Like he didn't want to fuck around with him. He had a bad temper. He just looked like a pissed off fucking Irishman. He had a beard. And he always wore like a newsy hat. He was fucking trouble. I'm sure he knocked back a few after dealing with us little fucking assholes all day. But it was a double classroom there, right? So there was like 40 fucking kids. You still had, like, my actual teacher was Mr. Slayman. Sure. But we cohabitated in the same room with Mr. Schwarm and all his kids. So it was a big class. I remember my buddy T-Bone was in that class with me. I think that's when I became a good friend with him. And who else? Jason Rackey and Jay Kulishas. A lot of Polacks. But I don't know how or why. It was like geology lesson or something. And Mr. Schwarm is like, I don't know if anyone knows. They're talking about like mountainous regions of the United States. He's like, I don't know if anybody knows. But there's a mountainous region. I don't know. This is kind of how we talked. I couldn't tell you how accurate of a impression it is because I have to get a time machine to go back. But he's like, there's a mountainous region not too far from here, upstate New York. Anybody know what it is? Anyone? And I was like, oh. And it was that thing like, you're so excited. You put your hand in the air and wave it. And you use your other arm to prop your arm up under your elbow. Like, it's almost like it takes, like, 2 arms to make your one arm go up because you're so excited and waving. I'm like, I know. Oh, I got it. Oh, me. Oh, God. And I'm, like, pointing to myself. I'm like, I know. Got to. And he's like, and he walks by. I'm like, Letchworth State Park. Letchworth State Park. He's like, all right, Luke knows where it is. Does anybody else know? And I don't know why. So he had acknowledged that I knew. He knew that I knew. And I knew that he knew that I knew. But I was still, like, waving my hand. And no one else knew. The whole rest of the class was like, I don't know. What are you talking about? There's a Grand Canyon type thing around here? I don't know. What is it, Mr. Schwarm? He's like, Luke, tell him. I was like, Letcher State Park! Letcher State Park! I've been there! My dad took me there! I went there looking for snakes and my dad on the motorcycle. I know Letcher State Park. It looks like fucking the Grand Canyon. I've seen pictures right here in the book of the Grand Canyon. It looks like one quarter of the Grand Canyon right outside the fucking bubble, a couple hours away, huh? I've been there. You guys, you want to talk to me about it? Talk to me after class. Meet you out in the hallway. I'll give you all the deets. I'll tell you what the rocks look like. There's a giant train trestle thing you can walk over. It's really dangerous looking. You can fall off and die. In fact, several people fall off and die on there a year, actually. Because you're not really supposed to be on it. There's no safety rails or anything or whatever the fuck. I was so happy, and I just remember, I still remember that. And I look back, and I'm like, why is this? Like, did anyone else go, like, when you knew the answer to something, you couldn't contain your fucking self? You had to let everyone know you knew? I don't know why I had that. And it wasn't all the time, because I was stupid, and I didn't know anything. But when I did know something, especially something like that, that was like, that was kind of like a, not a random fact, but what's the word I'm looking for? Like a, I guess something no one, like something more obscure that I knew about that no one else did. I was, oh my God, I had to fuck it. I couldn't believe I knew, and I had to let, I couldn't wait to let everybody know. I guess I still have that. Maybe that's why I do a podcast. Maybe that's where I started, fourth grade, right there in that class. I also remember that was one of the first times I ever really bombed telling a joke. I remember we were learning about, I told him about this. This came to me last night at the goddamn dinner because I made this awful joke 30 years later. It brought back this memory. We were learning about like the Middle East or something, and we were looking at a map of the world. And I'm looking at all the different, I mean, this is back when the Ottoman Empire was probably still around. That's how fucking old I am. I look and I notice there's Iran, Iraq, Turkey, and Hungary in that region, right? What do they call that? The Baltic region? Oh, no, that's over. That's in Russia. Never mind. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God! And I put my hand up, and he's like, "Yes, Luke." I don't even think we were like. I think he was like one of those things like we weren't even really taking questions. I think he was like writing stuff on the board, and we were copying it, you know, like writing it down. So it was just kind of quiet in the classroom, and it wasn't even really like discussion happening. I raised my hand, and he's like, "Yes, Luke." And I was like, "Hey, can I tell you something about the Middle East?" And he was like, "Yes, Luke. What is it?" And I go, "I ran to Turkey because I was hungry," and like a couple people just kind of like looked over at me. And he, like, looked at me, and he just turned back around. He didn't even, not even acknowledge that I had just said this awful pun, or whatever you want to call it, that had ever even been born. He was just, so, he was so thoroughly disgusted down into the fat bowels of this fat man's soul that he just turned around. He shot me, like, a look of very brief disgust, and then just turned back around and started writing back on the board, like, I'm just going to pretend this didn't happen. Let's all follow suit and pretend this didn't happen. But I was like, oh, God, what the fuck? Like, my young body, I had this feeling of just horrible filling me up of just, like, I just felt like poison had gone, and my fucking ears got all warm, and I just felt gross inside, like I'd just been violated, and I was like, oh, what is this feeling? What just happened? It was like my first bomb. It was terror. I wanted to, like, leave. I wanted to fucking, well, that's changed, huh? No, I'm 38, I still get in front of a fucking room and, make a bad of a joke as I ran to Turkey because I was hard. In fact, I should try that tonight. Maybe that'll be my opener. I get to the ice house. Fucking little asshole. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Well, you know what? I'm pretty sure. Oh, yeah, I'm already at 25 minutes just on this clip. Yeah, I'm sure I hit it. No, I don't know. Maybe this is really long. I don't even know. I couldn't tell you. Because every time you cut, this thing starts the time over on the Zoom. So according to this, I've only been talking for 25 minutes, but I stopped it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It resets the clock, so I don't know where I'm at. This could be an hour and a half for all I fucking know. But anyways, oh, this is bad. 20-7, and I'm downtown by the fucking buildings. This is not good. That's the show for this week. That was episode 117. How was that? How do you feel? You feel good? You feel entertained? You got a smile on your face? Did I take your mind off some kind of drudgery or something shitty? Did I help you get through something? I hope so. I'm here to help. That's all. You know, I'm here to help. I'm just here to help you, you know, maybe shave off an hour of your day, you know, that you don't want to pay attention. Maybe you just want me on for, you know, background noise. Something not that they may, maybe you do. Maybe you legitimately get a laugh at it. You tell, you know, a coworker or your weird cousin. You should listen to the show. Listen to this guy. He's a weird. He's funny sometimes. He's got a lot of stories. Once in a while are interesting. I think it's more just for him just to have someone to talk to in traffic because he just sits out there like Mad Max, just kind of out there by himself. I mean, there's other cars around, but yeah, you don't talk to them. You're by yourself in your own car. And that goes in there and talks and tells you about a bunch of bullshit you probably don't care about. Maybe once in a while, like I said, maybe it's fun. Maybe it's interesting. Maybe it's not. Probably ain't.
Like your cousin Luigi, 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 capisci, paesaggio.